Well, how y'all doing? Thought I'd stand here today, talk with you with my South Carolina accent. And today really is the day of decision, and from last week, and the elders need your input, and so they will be, as Pastor Peter said, in the lounge. And you're welcome to go to an elder and express your positives or your not so positives from last weekend. They value your input, and in particular, you youth. They want to hear from you. It's great. So that's after the service. So don't leave now, because they're not there. So that'll be after the service. So just a reminder of that. So that the elders can hear your voice today. Not tomorrow, but today. That'd be great. One day, little Johnny was digging a hole in his backyard, and the next door neighbor spotted him. And he decided, why is he digging a hole? He's got a lot of dirt there. And so he went over there, and hello, Johnny. He says, what are you up to? Johnny was busy digging away. And he said, well, Johnny said, my goldfish died, and I'm going to bury him. Oh. Neighbor looked, and there's a big mound of dirt, and there's a big hole. Neighbor said, well, that's a really big hole for a goldfish, isn't it? Johnny said, well, that's because he's inside your cat. There's so many days like that, aren't there? Days where we just wonder. Days where sometimes we just dig and dig our faith. And other days where we just don't even feel like digging. Where we just don't have it anymore. You ever had a day like that? Where you question and wonder, what's it really all about? I recall such a moment. I was flying to Vancouver for a meeting. It wasn't because I was flying, but and I was feeling, in a sense, that day, I was feeling particularly frustrated. Anybody here ever been frustrated before? Yeah, some of you right now, but it's okay. You got lots of time to lunch. Feeling particularly frustrated, I didn't really particularly want to go to this meeting, and I wondered what God was up to. I mean, I was tired, I was cranky, don't ask Joan, but I was tired and I was cranky, and I wondered, why? Why, God, why? Have you ever wondered what God was doing in your life? Were you wondering if he knew you had a life? And did you ever think, where, God, are you in all of this? Upon arriving safely to our seminary in Vancouver, I decided it was time to take a walk to the beach, and so I could kind of clear my head and kind of think things through. And the beach is about 15 minutes away from our seminary, and it's a great place, and the beach is a great place to go and think. But what was fascinating about this beach when I was there, when I got there, and there are a lot of logs, but there's a lot of sand, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to wander along the beach. And so I was wandering along the ocean. Was, you know, it's nice, loud sound, but it's peaceful. And I saw something fascinating in the sand when I was walking along. I saw footprints. And, you know, automatically what came to my mind was that, you know, the whole footprints poem, you know, that whole thing. But I noticed that there was two sets of footprints, and the one set were big footprints, bigger than my feet, actually. So they weren't Sasquatch, but they were bigger than mine. It doesn't take much to be bigger than my feet. And then beside them were smaller footprints, obviously from a child, you know, almost my size. Smaller footprints. So I thought, well, this is interesting. So I just followed these two footprints along. And as I went, I saw all of a sudden the smaller footprints just disappear. Gone. Amazing, you say. Obviously what happened was the parent or the adult who was along with this toddler picked up the child at this point and began to carry them. Now, then I started thinking about, because this is what I do, because I sit and I think too much often, that's what I'm told. I started thinking about the scene that likely played out at that moment walking on that beach. The child may have been so excited to venture along that beach, running, and you know how we kind of get when we're on a beach, because we're from Saskatchewan in the snow, running, and those small legs were just probably running tirelessly, and then all of a sudden they got tired. And I'm sure that little toddler began to complain. Maybe even whine. Do any of you know what whining is? Three of you. The rest of you don't whine. They reached a point where they just wanted to be carried. And so the parent picked up the child and more than likely carried the child, or at least threw it to somebody else. I don't know how it happened. But you know what an amazing scene to think about. The parent carries the child to the place of safety when the child's tired, when the child is worn out, when the child can no longer go on. What's beautiful about that is that's a wonderful analogy of the Lord, what the Lord does for us when we're tired, when we're worn out, when we whine, when we don't want to go on, when we're finding our strength limited and we just can't seem to keep it together, let alone finding the energy to just keep going. So I stood there for a moment and looked at just the one set of footprints and saw where this actually happened. The little child there, and you could see it was kind of like a stop and kind of a move. And you could see where, obviously, they were lifted up. There's a little bit more sand brushed away. I mean, people probably thought I was crazy because I got down like this and I was looking at these little footprints and studying little bits of sand that moved and, people are walking by and I'm sitting like this, And then I realized as I'm sitting here, God, those are my footprints. The footprints of that child. That's me. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And I'm whining. And God, really, this is the footprints in the sand for me because that's got to be you. But I had to put my hands up. Just like the child. Put my hands up. Like this. Because that's what the child would have done, right? Going like this. And open my hands. I cannot describe to you the overwhelming presence of God on that beach. I thought, as we approach Easter, I thought it would be important for us to just dig a little bit. Not like little Johnny digging a larger hole than we need. But more like that toddler in the digging their feet in the sand. I think we need to come back to digging faith again. And I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a great passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 this morning, and I'm just going to read them for you. Of 2 Corinthians 13, beginning of verse 5. You know, I gotta just, it's a good thing I don't do that, you know, open and find a sermon, you know. Like some pastor, you know, they flip open their Bible and then, oh yeah, that'll work. Because my Bible sticks open right there. That's where the break happens, and you guys would hear from 2 Corinthians 13 all the time. But 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Examine yourselves. To dig faith, we need to, first of all, check. We need to check. We need to look at this. Look at my life and start checking things out. You know, it's a time, Easter is that time where we focus on the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. But this calls us to examine that particular element of Jesus all the time, that faith, that believing. Spend time checking yourself spiritually. We're in a season of Lent. That you'll hear that thrown around quite a bit. Typically, Lent is that time where a person gives something up. I'm encouraging you this Lent to take something up, and that is take up your spiritual life, a spiritual life that will change who you are and change those around you by who you are. Look at your life. Check it out. See how it measures up before God. I love the way the Message Bible puts this passage. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not more hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we failed. Got to check it. Spend time alone with God. That's the key element of the Christian life. But I'll tell you that that's often overlooked and that's often neglected. I mean, you know, I stood there on that beach and I finally had some time alone with God. I was so busy doing ministry and doing the things of ministry that I was neglecting God. You see, this is something that we neglect, this is something we overlook, it's our human nature. We go our own way until we face pain in our life, and then we find ourselves rushing into, oh God, I need you now to intervene in my situation, God, please. We're like little Johnny, we dig a bigger hole. And Paul calls the Corinthians to check their spiritual heart condition. Check it over. Well, there's some questions to review that I do. These are the questions I myself walk through. You should try to daily. It's a test, at least for me. Look over what you completed. It's like kind of like reviewing. Take a stock of your life. Examine your relationship with the Lord. Say, have I pleased the Lord? Have I seized every opportunity to minister? Have you sought restitution when you needed to? Have you granted forgiveness where you needed to? Am I truly seized by the mind of Christ? Because that's what he did. He granted forgiveness, even when it wasn't asked. He sought restitution by going to the cross. And then you say, even if the situation's good or bad, do I do that? I mean, I've had to walk through those kind of questions in order to check my spiritual life. Well, in order to dig faith, not only should we take time to check, but we should also take time to concentrate. You know what concentrate means? It means pay attention. I'm sorry to wake you. Pay attention. Stay focused. Don't drift along, says 2 Corinthians. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. Pay attention to who you are. I mean, you know, relationship class, I teach on Sunday mornings, and we talked about this for spouses. You know, I'm not going to say husband and wives, but often a spouse will have to say to their spouse, pay attention! Pay attention when I'm talking to you! Stay focused! Are you alive? Take the pulse, you know. I'm talking to you, are you listening? What? Ever happened in your life? You've lost concentration? Not where you need to be? Focus is the key to anything we do. Self-examination is crucial. But it's critical to pay attention to why. Why would I take the time to examine myself? Well, how can I stay focused unless I do examine who I am? God is not going to send anything in your life, in your way, that He will not enable you to face as long as you stay focused. He's not going to ask you to do anything that He won't enable you to do as long as you concentrate on Him. But listen, Satan will attempt to use your circumstance, your anything that you're facing, to take your focus off of God and onto your problem. A young couple moves into a new neighborhood. And the next morning, while they are eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. And the young lady says, well, that laundry's not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looked on, but he remained silent. And every time her neighbor would hang her wash to dry, the young woman would make the same comments. And about a month later, the young lady was quite surprised. She saw nice, clean wash on the line. She said to her husband, she said, look, somebody must have taught her. She knows how to wash correctly now. I wonder who taught her this. And the husband said, well, I got up early this morning and I washed our windows. That's how life is. What we see when we're looking at others depends on the window of our own life that we're looking through. What do I need to remove? What do I need to clean? What do I need to surrender in order to deepen my relationship with Christ? What's standing in the way from your focus on Christ? Is it your thought life? Is it a bitter heart, an unforgiving spirit? Is it personal conflict in you? Is it rebellious spirit towards God? Maybe even the church. Maybe ministry. You know, those questions I ask myself in order to remove what I need to so that I can focus, so I can concentrate upon my Savior. Digging faith requires us not only to take time to check or concentrate, but also to contemplate. Contemplate. I want you to look this passage, verse 5. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we've not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad, verse 9, whenever we were weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. Our prayer is for your perfection. You know, I tell you, when you spend time to contemplate before God, not hearsay, as the message says, that Jesus Christ is in you, but as you spend time in prayer, praying to Him, talking to God, One of my favorite stories is like the story of Maxine. You may have heard it, but she was driving down the street in a sweat because she had an important meeting to get to. She couldn't find a parking place. You know, you've been that. You've been there. You know, you're sweating. You go, I have to get there. I'm late. Looking up toward heaven, she said, Lord, take pity on me. If you find me a parking place, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life, and I'll give up gossiping, God, and I'll even give up chocolate. And miraculously, a parking place appeared. She looked up again and she said, never mind, Lord, I found one. That's how we pray. It's true. We make deals. We need to pray. As Paul says, we need to pray that the qualities found in Jesus will become part of our life. Part of us. Not that we become perfect and sinless, but that we become more like Christ. We need to walk in such a way that those around us will know what God has done in your life. I said this morning in relationship class, it's great. I love that saying, smile, because it makes people wonder what you've been up to. What you've been up to. My mother used to say that all the time. I get up in the morning, hi mom, what do you want? What have you been up to? But what God is doing in your life. When people meet us, I mean, I wonder what they think. Do they see in me and in you a character? Do they see in us a quality of life? Do they see in us an attitude? Do they see in us a conduct in our behavior, in our actions, those qualities that would remind them of Jesus? Who sacrificed, who surrendered, who gave it all, because he was so concentrated and contemplated on the Savior, on God the Father. The world should feel something different around you. You see, the world knows what itself is like, but when the world gets around Christians, they need to feel the presence of Christ. We need to walk worthy of our calling. So we need to pray for this for ourselves. We need to pray this for our friends, for our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, that person going through difficulty and hardship. Lord, make known your will for my life, for their life. Lord, show them how to walk in a manner worthy of who you are. God will hear. He will answer your prayer. And young people, I pray this for your friends in school. Pray for them. Pray for one another that you may walk worthy of Christ. You have a difficult task in our world. Commit to one another. People of God, pray for each other. Commit that today for your life and for those around you. This pray that God will just change you to be more like him. That's contemplating. We need to pray that we will dig faith so that others will dig faith. Ask yourself this question. Go ahead. Be brave. God, how many times in any given day do I do something that has lasting, eternal value? How many times, God, do I in any given week do something that has lasting, eternal value? I'm not talking about preaching. I'm not talking about multitudes of ways that you can and do that and have lasting value. I'm talking about like a mother who sits and reads to her child a Bible story, or father who kneels and prays for his kids, or a person who shares what God has done in their life, the coworker. God moment. There are many, many ways, whether you're a homemaker, businessman, salesman, receptionist, student, God will use you and you will dig deeper in your faith once you contemplate how. Where's your sense of direction? Do you know God's will and purpose and plan for your life? Even if you're 60, 70, or 10, or 20, God made you. He created you for a purpose. Don't waste a minute, an hour, a week floating through life. Invest your life. Invest it. pray. I've never had anyone, not one person, turn away from me when I've said, let me tell you what God did for me. Even some people who had no interest in God, when I said to them, I want to tell you what God spoke into my life. Just want you to tell. Can I tell you what God did in my life? They're anxious. They want to find, what? I've said to somebody, anyone, can I pray for you? Not once have I heard a no. Not once. People want to know God is real. And God is just waiting for you. God is just waiting for you when you come to Him and say, I'm so glad I'm weak. I'm so glad you're strong. My prayer, God, is for your perfection in my life. I want to be like you. And I tell you, when you pray like that, you stop whining. You stop complaining. You stop the critical spirit that you've got inside, and you start seeing the great things that God does through other people and with your own life, as long as you take time to contemplate. Prayer is our lifeline to our Savior. So I ask myself, have I truly trusted God enough to pray and give Him everything, every situation? Because we hold on to things. We don't want to let go. To dig faith, we allow the Holy Spirit to renew and strengthen us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you too afraid to ask for that? Are you dealing with stuff today you just want to hold on to and not let go of? It's time to let it go and let the Holy Spirit use you in ways you never knew was possible before. That's what Jesus meant when He said, if anyone desires to come after me in Luke, He said, if anybody desires after, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. It's about our Savior. So at this point, I ask myself, is it possible that I'm so ingrained with what I want to do that I'm not listening to what God wants me to do? Am I so ingrained with what I want to do that I'm not listening to what God wants me to do? I figured out why on that Vancouver beach. Why I had such an unrestful feeling. I mean, exciting things are happening all over the place. But I lost my faith focus. And so here I was on that Vancouver beach, looking like I belonged somewhere else other than on that beach. As people walked by and saw me sitting there focusing on this set of footprints that disappeared, a small set. And I realized that child would have gone like this. When you go like this, you don't have anything. You're holding nothing. You're just looking up and you're saying, God, I'm losing it. Somewhere along the line, I dug such a great big hole. And I dug that hole myself, God. I dug it so deep that I need help getting out. And I put down my shovel, God. I'm not going to dig anymore. I just want you. I need you. I love you. That's really digging faith. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. That moment on that beach, I was out of an amazing relationship. An amazing relationship with the head of the church. Maybe that's you too this morning. Maybe you haven't dug into the Word like you should. Maybe it's been a long time since you actually prayed. Maybe you've been so wrapped up in what you want, you forgot about God. Maybe it's time for you to lift your hands up. Let go of what you're carrying. And let God pick you up and restore the relationship that you once had. Maybe the wounds go deep, I don't know. Maybe it's something that you've carried for a long time. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you, if you're saying, Lord, I'm just lifting my hands up to you. I'm lifting my hands up to you. God, I need that relationship again. I'm lifting my hands up to you. I'm letting go of what I want so that you can carry me. If you're coming to him that way, just lift your hands up. Just lift them up to him. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. God sees them. Father, this morning, may have lifted up our hands, or maybe just in our heart, God, we've lifted them to you. You know what our heart stirs. But God, why is it? Why is it sometimes we dig such big holes for ourselves? Why is it, God, that we whine and complain, but we never put our arms up to be carried? Why is it, God, that sometimes we feel so alone? Why is it that, God, sometimes we wonder and we don't understand why we have to walk through the journey we're walking through? Could it be, God, that at that moment, more than ever before, we're digging faith deeper? God, could it be that? I pray that it is, God, that because we don't want to be out of relationship with you. Because more than ever, we need you during those times where we whine, and those times where we question, those times where we're tired and we're worn out, feel like we can't go on. God, we need you. And Lord, today as we come together as your people, we know that we're making a big decision today. And we want your will in all of this. We want your will, God. We don't want to steer from that and want our own desire. We want what you desire in an associate, in the life of this church. God, we want you. And so we pray that your will be done, not just for today, but every day of our life. May your will be done, and your glory made known. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.